You're listening to SBS News.
Church bells ring out across the Czech Republic to mark 1 year since the first COVID-19 death in the country. More than 24,000 people have died there from coronavirus. And with 1.47 million cases in a population of 10.7 million, the country currently has the highest per capita infection rate in the world. Britain is marking the anniversary of its first coronavirus lockdown with a National Day of Reflection. Parliament will observe a minute's silence in tribute to the more than 126,000 people who have died in the country. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says international cooperation on vaccines is urgently needed.
On the continent right now, you can see, sadly, there is a third wave underway, and people in this country should be under no illusions that previous experience has taught us that when a wave hits our friends, it, I'm afraid, washes up on our shores as well. And I expect that we will feel those effects in due course. That's why we're getting on with our vaccination program as fast as we can. But a vaccination campaign, developing vaccines, rolling them out, these are international projects and they require international cooperation.
After 6 weeks of decline in global deaths from COVID-19, the number of fatalities is rising again. Maria van Kerkhove from the World Health Organization says that's distressing.
It had been about 6 weeks where we were seeing decreases in deaths. And in the last week, we've started to see a slight increase in deaths across the world. And this is to be expected if we are to see increasing cases. But this is also a worrying sign. So there's still far more that we can do.
She says most of the global rise in new infections is in Europe.
This is the fifth week in a row globally that we have seen an increase in transmission. In the last week, cases have increased by 8%. In Europe, that is 12%, and that's driven by several countries across the European region. And a lot of that is driven by the B117 variant that was first identified in the UK that is now starting to circulate in many countries in the eastern part of Europe.
European Union leaders are holding an online summit later this week to discuss how to deal with the new wave of infections and vaccine supplies. The surge in cases has forced Germany to scrap plans to ease restrictions that have been in place since December the 16th, instead extending its partial lockdown until April the 18th. In France, nearly 16,000 cases were reported in the last 24 hours, more than double the number over the same 24-hour period last week. French vaccination chief Alan Fisher says 11.8% of the adult population has been vaccinated with one dose, despite setbacks on the supply of AstraZeneca vaccines.
We are noticing it today, already the impact of COVID-19 vaccination. If you look at the elderly people in care homes, more than 90% of them have been vaccinated, which is a good result, as it wasn't easy. We know today that the number of deaths due to COVID-19 in care homes has really reduced. We see the same for the wider population of over 80 years old.
Nearly a third of French people entered a month-long lockdown over the weekend, with many expressing fatigue and confusion over the latest set of restrictions. A survey by British data analytics firm YouGov shows a majority of people in the biggest EU states, including Germany, France, Spain and Italy, view the vaccine as unsafe. Iceland has joined other Nordic countries in saying it will investigate the AstraZeneca vaccine further before resuming its use. Several countries have started using the vaccine again after the European Medicines Agency dismissed concerns over isolated cases of blood clots, saying the vaccine is safe and effective. AstraZeneca says the results of a US study of 30,000 people shows the vaccine is 100% effective in preventing severe disease. The company's research chief, Mene Pangalos, says he hopes the findings rebuild confidence in the vaccine.
I think it settles it for people who didn't think the vaccine was as effective, but I think we've always been convinced by the vaccine's efficacy. I think obviously it's a simpler story because now we have a single study that's been run with the same batch of clinical trial substance, with the same endpoint. So it's a much cleaner study, which is why it's very nice to be able to report the 79% vaccine efficacy against symptomatic disease, 100% against severe disease.
WHO Special Advisor Bruce Alwood says outside Europe, the demand for vaccines remains high, and he has a message for countries that have a stockpile of vaccines they aren't currently using.
The problem is not a lack of demand, it's quite the contrary. And I think if there's one thing we do, if there are any countries that do have concerns or are not fully utilizing a vaccine, make it available to the COVAX facility, because we have a long list of countries that are very, very keen to use the AstraZeneca vaccine. We simply cannot get enough of it.
More than 430 million doses have now been given globally, mostly in wealthier nations. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says it's shocking to see some wealthy countries now vaccinating younger, healthy people at low risk of getting COVID-19, while other nations have no vaccines.
The gap between the number of vaccines administered in rich countries and the number of vaccines administered through COVAX is growing every single day and becoming more grotesque every day. Some countries are racing to vaccinate their entire populations while other countries have nothing. This may buy short-term security, but it is a false sense of security.
Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin says he plans to get vaccinated this week to encourage other Russians. Vaccine skepticism remains an issue in the country, with a poll this month showing less than a third willing to have a jab and close to two-thirds saying they believe the coronavirus is a man-made biological weapon. Mr. Putin also dismissed criticism from Western nations that Russia is using its Sputnik V vaccine as a propaganda tool.
We don't impose anything on anyone or any country. When we hear such statements from officials, there is a question of whose interests are being protected by European Union officials. Is it the interests of pharmaceutical companies or interests of European citizens? What are the EU doing? Are they lobbying pharmaceutical companies?
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.